Light Transitions Radio is a dialogue about personal and planetary change. Acknowledging that we are all at unique points on a continuum of change, Light Transitions Radio seeks out innovators and creators, engages them in spontaneous and deep dialogues, and shares these conversations with the world. Light Transitions Radio's mission is to help individuals and communities achieve positive transformation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Light Transitions Radio. My name is Robert Davis, and I would like to thank you for joining us today. We're especially honored today to welcome Nicola Christie to Light Transitions Radio. Welcome and blessings, Nicola.
Hello, Robert. Thank you. I'm delighted to be able to speak with you and your community today. So thank you for inviting me.
Before we get started, I want to go over a little bit about the very energetic work that Nicola has been working with over this lifetime, and I believe probably many lifetimes. She's an instrumental new voice for our times. She's already gathered the attention of Barbara Marx Hubbard, Irvin Laszlo, and other evolutionary leaders as a new voice for today's generation of awakening co-creators of the post-2012 world. Nicola is the author of 2012 A Clarion Call, Your Soul's Purpose in Conscious Evolution. Irvin Laszlo endorsed this book, quoting, "the most remarkable spiritual book on this or any other subject that I have ever read." Barbara Marx Hubbard wrote the foreword. It was placed in the top 10 of spring 2011 book reviews by Publishers Weekly. She's also the author of 2012 A Clarion Call, Book of Meditations, co-author in 2013 of The Beginning Is Now, and also Living in the Fifth Dimension, a 2012 publication. Along with Irvin Laszlo, Jose Arguelles, and many others, she's also a contributing writer for Irvin Laszlo's and Kingsley Dennis's soon-to-be-published book, World Shift 2020, The New Vision, Exploring Evolving Horizons. She's the founder of World Shift Movement, co-founder of World Shift International with Kingsley Dennis, and a co-initiator of World Shift 2012. Nicola is currently writing her second book to be published by a mainstream publisher, Self-Actualization, a 21st century handbook for the conscious evolutionary. For the past 3 years, her work has been almost exclusively focused upon the unprecedented moment for humanity as represented by the times in which we live, most especially 2012 and leading up to the auspicious and profound date of 12/21/12. She's primarily focused on supporting and informing through sharing the message of her work, guiding both the individual and the collective towards personal and global transformation. Nicola has been sounding the wake-up call for humanity, supporting thousands of people across the world to not only consciously prepare for the transformational experience of 12/21/12, yet also in how to navigate beyond this state and co-create a new world paradigm. She is a voice for those consciously awake and for frontline campaigners and co-creators of a post-2012 world. Her website is nicolachristie.com, and we'll have those and other sites pertaining to the interview on our website with the interview. Nicola, it is clear you've been a vanguard interpreter of these times for many, many years. When did you feel the inspiration to move in this context and along this pathway to be as such a clear representative of what is possible into the future? Was there a pivotal moment 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, I would say that the pivotal moment was in 2009, January 2009. We had a sequence of, how would we say, otherworldly experiences, which was then followed by a title that just dropped into my mind, which I knew was the title of a book, even though I'd never written a book, I'd never thought about writing a book, didn't even believe I had the capacity to write a book. This title just dropped into my mind, which was 2012, A Clarion Call, and subtitle, A Wake-Up Call for Humanity. The publisher actually changed the subtitle to Your Soul's Purpose in Conscious Evolution, but it was originally A Wake-Up Call for Humanity. And when that title dropped into my consciousness, literally out of nowhere, I knew that a book had to be written. And in the book itself, I actually explain in detail the process that unfolded from that moment forward, because it was quite extraordinary. And it's a very interesting process, because when I wrote the book, 2012 Clarion Call, I actually say, and the reality is, that book wrote itself through me. And I said that all along, and I didn't know how I knew it, but I knew the book had written itself through me. Whereas the book that I'm just completing now, I have written. So I'm very clear about the difference. But that was the pivotal moment, was January 2009.
What was your life path up to 2009? Were you involved in, again, this work at any level?
Yes, basically my life path had been, I was actually working as a medium and as a psychic from my late teens until I reached around 32. And no, in fact, 30. And at 30, I suddenly became very interested in how the human being works, if you like, on a mental, emotional, feeling, psychological level. And so I went in search of a psychology with a soul. So I was looking to explore my own process with a view to possibly training in some kind of psychotherapeutic discipline. And I didn't want to go down the path of what I would describe as textbook psychotherapy. You know, somebody comes along and they've got a problem with alcohol, and you know, people say, okay, well, you know, what's going on there? Why is that happening? I wanted somebody to, a psychotherapy that was going to say, okay, well, what's happening at soul level? What is the soul trying to work through in this lifetime through having this experience, if we say, for example, of alcoholism or drug addiction or consumerism or, you know, all sorts of things out there that we seek support with. And I came across psychosynthesis when I was 30. And I went into therapy, and after weeks of being in therapy, I absolutely knew that I needed to train in this, and that's what I did. I trained in psychosynthesis. And then I explored very, very deeply over several years core process psychotherapy. And so I learned, it's like I describe it as being on an apprenticeship, that this lifetime, everything I'd experienced in the moment I was born, and I've had some extreme circumstances to overcome on my own journeys, literally from birth. So I describe this now as, and I understood it to be an apprenticeship. And everything that I was experiencing, everything that I was learning, everything that I was processing was, if you like, the teachings that would then source my work once I'd completed that apprenticeship. And I feel that the apprenticeship completed in 2009. So just to say that I've worked extensively with human beings one-to-one and in groups, and learned how to sit with someone and tune into the nuances, the subtleties, and listen to the soul. Mm. You know, almost like being a human whisperer in a way. I've learned to listen in quite an unusual way with people. And so that was the main bulk of the arena I was working in for several years. Then this experience happened in January 2009, and there'd been several other profound experiences that happened from 97 until 2002. I mean, the story's just fascinating as you and I think about what's happened. Too much to go into right now, but in 2009, what happened is once that title dropped into my consciousness, when I was coming to the end of the apprenticeship, in quotes, my attention started to be drawn not just to the personal evolution of the individual, but global evolution and how personal evolution impacts on global evolution and how global evolution is entirely dependent upon personal evolution. And so that's where my work is now. My work is as an evolutionary guide for personal and global evolution.
They are seemingly inextricable at this point. And it's in looking at the world right at this moment. I know in the United States specifically, there seems to be such a level of frustration and entrapment into whatever karmic pathway that you look around and see people pursuing. And it's very challenging for so many individuals to step aside and gain a perspective on being conscious in reference to the times that are upon us. What is one of your say one of your better directives at this time to help people move consciously through these periods?
Well, I mean, it's a very important and critical question that you pose there. I'm very much a realist. I try not to be falling in the camp of idealist, because what we need is realism and realists in the times that we're living in. My initial response to your question is that, in a way, people are asleep for the main part, as we know, consciously asleep. People have been anesthetized for millennia through the trauma that they've experienced, through the, dictatorships and the sort of authoritarian, in quotes, leadership type structures that have been at the helm of society on a global level for millennia. And so what's happened over all this time, people have numbed out, people have fallen asleep, people have stopped caring to some degree. And again, the wake-up call is what is needed. And how do we sound that wake-up call? And how do we reach the mass? Now, when I launched World Shift Movement, again, that was an inspiration like Clarion Call. The title came in, the strap line came in, movement for the people, representing the voice of the people, because that's what I really felt was needed. And I still feel it's really needed. There are, a myriad of, organizations, if you like, online organizations, online in quotes movements and so forth, that are about sort of inspiring people, but for the main part they are preaching to the converted. And my stance with World Shift Movement was, we need to penetrate mass consciousness. We don't actually need to preach to the converted. We need to penetrate mass consciousness. And as I saw it at the time, because I see things in visuals, my mind is very, very abstract with the way I perceive and receive information and even express it. And as I saw it at the time, I saw this laser beam, this really penetrating laser beam coming from the sort of the cosmos, the galaxy, if you like, and it was penetrating into the dense matter that is, if you like, mass consciousness. And it needed to sort of come in and begin to break that up and wake people up. Now, what's happened with World Shift Movement is it was a volunteer organization, and as in with all volunteer organizations, if you don't get donations, you can't carry on.
Yes.
So what had happened is that I got a completely new directive for it, but I don't actually have the funds to get the website up and running, which is a shame, because the directive for World Shift Movement, as far as I'm concerned, is the answer to your question. I'm not saying it's the answer to the question on a global scale, but I see that if we have an organization, a movement that speaks the language of the people, represents the voice of the people, is a voice for the people, and speaks to mass consciousness, it's where it is inviting people on the street, you know, from, you know, anybody, whether you're a philosopher, whether you're a street sweeper, whether you're a grave digger, whether you're a teacher, but it speaks in a language that the people can understand, uncomplicated, simple language that can begin to wake people up, because that's what is needed. People need to begin to wake up from the anaesthetized stupor, if you like, that they've been in and that they are in.
And you speak eloquently about the invitation, and it is such an important part, I think, of our moving forward, is to really cast this as an invitation to individuals to participate and awaken. How do you see that messaging being offered as an invitation?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be speaking directly to your question, because I'm not 100% sure I understand the question. But my feeling response as you've posed that question, my mind immediately goes to the language, again, the language that's being used, but also it's about empowering people. And when I say people, I'm talking about mass. This is the really fine line that needs to be taken into account, if you like, is that, you know, it's very easy to inspire those who are already awake, because they're already inspired anyway, because as soon as we awaken, we become inspired. Where the work is needed, if you like, is to inspire the uninspired, is to inspire those who are not yet consciously awake, have chosen not to be, or it's an unconscious choice or conscious choice, who knows. And so with that, it's for me about empowering people. It's first of all, it's informing people, really bringing information to people that enables them to start to think about, starting to rattle the cage, if you like, and get people to think about what they're doing, how they're doing it, why they're doing what they're doing, how they're feeling, what they're thinking, getting people to really connect. And I'm talking about the mass again, connecting in a way to themselves, in a way that they're not used to, because they're not raised in families or communities that encourage one to look within oneself. So there's, again, a very great wisdom needs to be used and utilized in how to actually get people that are consciously asleep to begin to wake up. And the language that, if you like, I would use towards somebody who's already awake is not the language that I would use towards somebody who's asleep, because it just would not penetrate their consciousness. So what I feel that I carry, if you like, or as part of the work that I'm here to do, is to be able to translate and speak in a language that can begin to get people's attention, to get people to turn around for a moment and say, oh, hold on a minute, what was that she said, or what was that was being said, in a way that perhaps they wouldn't ordinarily. Now, with World Shift Movement, when I look at the sort of the global situation, and, you know, we look at everything that's been tried, from revolution to rebellion to peace protests to, you know, everything you can imagine that's happened over the last, certainly thousands of years, but, you know, the recent modern history, nothing yet has worked. You know, I think the person, the one human being on the planet who had the greatest impact for change was Gandhi, with what he did in India, which was obviously passive resistance. But in a way, that passive resistance worked for then, but it doesn't work now. Because passive resistance, again, it works for those who are awakened. They get it. But those who are not consciously awake, they're not tuned. They're not attuned to that concept in a way that, if you like, the whole of India was when Gandhi was here. So I feel that it's an avenue to walk down, but it needs bringing into the times we're in now more for a global audience, if you like. So for me, it's about non-participation. It's like, how do we empower ourselves in the light of the systems, the authoritarian systems on a global level that are disempowering, that are entirely disempowering? How do we empower ourselves? And right now, for me, I've got several sort of how can I say, inspirations as to how we can do that. But just in this very moment, for me, it's about non-participation. But it's the way to non-participate that is important. It's for me, the non-participation, again, in the sort of a Gandhiist way, is all about peace. But at the same time, it's how to be effective in non-participation, in a non-confrontative, non-protest. It's not about peace protests. A non-reactive way, a way that is responsive and responding to the needs of the people in terms of the times that we're living in. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's where I went with it.
That was a great answer to the question. Looking at these points, do you have anything distilled down to 5, 6, maybe 10 points that illumine the non-participation program for everyone?
Well, in a way, that's something that's all part and parcel of what will be launched with World Shift Movement as and when the funds come in for the website to be built. So that's still percolating.
Yes.
You see, a lot of what I do, Robert, is I am truly inspired with my work. It doesn't come from me. It absolutely comes through me. And
yeah.
I mean that in the greatest sense. I just place my hands over a keyboard. I'm a little bit like a pianist who's never, ever learned a note.
Yes.
Of how to play a piano, and yet when they put their hands over the piano, they can play greatly accomplished pieces. I'm able to put my hands over a keyboard, have a sense of something, and then I can download it. And so I'm in the process of doing that. But one of the things, or two of the things that I've actually come up with in terms of new paradigm models is the 6 core values for an evolving world and the 12 foundation stones for a new world paradigm. And the 6 core values are all about peace, restorative justice, not just justice, but restorative justice, sustainability, compassionate action, conscious communication, conscious evolution. For me, these are the 6 foundation stones of a new paradigm. Peace, restorative justice, sustainability, compassionate action, conscious communication, conscious evolution. And then we have the 12 foundation stones for an evolving world. And these are equality, inclusivity, understanding, forgiveness, empathy, co-creation, cooperation, co-support, collaboration, non-monetary transactions, non-violent, compassionate communication, and unconditional giving, receiving, and doing. And these will form part of the foundation stones of World Shift Movement and what it's actually seeking to promote. But there's a whole lot more as well. I've just written a 2,000-word piece for Irving's book, which you mentioned in the intro, about my vision for the world in 2020. And from my perspective, if we think about the money that's spent on arms and weaponry and defence systems around the world, if we could take some of that and we could actually put it towards there being some kind of program, like, you have to go to school, that there's a program where you do a year, at least a 1 year journey of the self, that is a little bit like the fundamentals of psychosynthesis. That when I signed up for psychosynthesis, we did a 1 year fundamental, and the 1 year's fundamentals was absolutely about our own journey. And what fascinated me about that was that the group, it was 36 in the group, it was a huge group. The people, after a year of doing that journey, were just totally different. And I remember looking at everybody at the end of that 1 year journey and thinking to myself, my God, what a different world this would be if, it sounds a bit extreme, but it was compulsory, if you like. When we reached 18, we reached sort of that age of leaving home, where we had these moments, we have these sort of milestones in our lives, where we take a year out, and it's funded by the government, if you like. We take a year out and we explore just where we've come in, so many years, and what needs to be processed, what needs to be worked through, what needs to be integrated. And I thought to myself, if every member of the political system around the world did this 1 year's fundamental, the world would be a different place.
A vision quest for each individual. It's such an important element, and I think there are so many right now, and I'm sure you see this in your work on a day-to-day basis, that are really ready to embrace self-empowerment and really take a step in the unified offering that is available. And yet there is this overriding pressure to keep the system to a certain degree in a conformed state. So your World Shift movement and getting these websites going seems to be such a critical part right now as far as being able to disseminate this information in a form, as you've mentioned, that is accessible to people that are interested in taking that small step, which will then lead to the next step of a deeper understanding that I think we're all on a timing system. It's an evolutionary system that we can certainly look at and say, yes, it's so dependent upon us, but it's also a large system that's unfolding organically. And to be attentive to that process, and again, following that empowerment stream, seems to be very, very critical. So looking at 2013 briefly, how do you see the planet transforming at the end of this year into 2013?
Mm-hmm. Well, my own take on it, from my own perception, is that, as I say in the book, Clarion Call, that, you know, we're not going to wake up on the morning of the 22nd of December and see, you know, the whole world has changed. A very dear friend of mine said about 2 years ago, oh my God, I'm not going to need my glasses or my bank account to 2012. I was thinking to myself at the time, no, it's not going to work like that. My feeling is that at a fundamental level, something without question would have shifted. The whole success, if you like, of the shift has been dependent upon, in quotes, enough people waking up, and there are enough people. I felt that very, very strongly about 3 months ago. I got it really clear, if you like, from the luminous ones, the ones that I work with that guide my own work, that there are enough people. We have reached a critical mass in terms of the shift. So, you know, I see the, if you like, the critical mass in terms of the shift being like a sort of a great light and a great tuning fork. And that when that tuning fork is struck, if you like, in the UK, you know, the famous Big Ben on New Year's Eve is heard all around the UK on New Year's Eve. It's like when that tuning fork, which is the critical mass, is struck on 21/12/2012, that tone is going to reverberate around the globe, and it's going to impact at a very deep unconscious level on all the human beings around the planet that wouldn't even have a clue that there was some frequency that had just hit them that they weren't aware of. They won't know this, but enough people have reached that critical mass. So what I see here is 21/12/2012 is, it cannot go by unnoticed by those who are awake. We will feel what's happening. We're already in the final stages, if you like, of a very profound personal evolutionary journey. We are completing this year. People that are awake, consciously awake, are completing, if you like, how could we say, you know, hundreds of lifetimes of incarnations are completing in this year. We have sort of pre-2012, and we have post-2112-2012. And so we know that all timelines are converging. This is something that's been happening within, is known, if you like, in the sort of the back offices, as it were, the secret hidden offices of global government, especially the American government and the Russian government. But they are aware that 21/12/2012 is the convergence of all timelines. The experiments that they've been running since the 50s have all been shut down, because in their projections into the future, they've been able to, literally, they have been able to time travel into the future. That's a whole other story about, you know, how politicians are selected in America and so forth. There's no time to go into that today. But they were unable to, in their projections into the future, they could not get past 21/12/2012. So all of those systems have shut down. So not only are the timelines historically all converging And this is what makes 20, for me personally, what is most powerful about 21-12-2012 is the convergence of the timelines. So historically, all timelines converge 21-12-2012, and we enter the now. There is no past influencing, there is no future influencing, it is the now. But equally, those timelines are converging within us as human beings, as souls. So all the lives that we've lived, again, throughout millennia, are all converging in this year. This is why so many people are feeling the pressure really turning up now. Challenges, unreachable challenges that I've heard so many people talking about wanting to leave the planet, some people wanting to kill themselves, so, you know, all crazy kind of things that are going on for people because they don't understand that there is this mass convergence going on within the multi-dimensional, multi-lived experiences on Earth that they've had. So as we reach 21-12-2012, we have the convergence of the timelines at a personal level and at a global historical level. That is going to profoundly, profoundly impact the direction that consciousness and personal global evolution take from that date. So as I say, we don't wake up on the 22nd of December, especially people who are not really tuned in and consciously awake. They will not wake up and say, oh, well, you know, everything looks the same, because it will. However, over a period of time, again, with that mass, that critical mass tuning fork, you know, sounding away and growing as it grows, this is going to influence. My feeling is between 2013 and 2020, we are on a very, very, very steep evolutionary curve. And by the time we reach 2020, things will, there will be tangible evidence beginning to break the surface that is pointing humanity again at a sort of a global, social, political, evolutionary consciousness level into a very, very different direction. So I feel like if we were looking at a compass, the gauge on the compass would have just shifted very slightly, but enough to begin to take us down and into a different direction.
Well, on that tuning fork note, Nicolia, I would like to thank you very, very, very much for joining us today. And for more information on Nicolia Christie's brilliant work, please visit her website at nicoliachristie.com. We'll have that link and others pertaining to today's show on our website, lighttransitionsradio.com. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please visit our website or email us at comment@lighttransitionsradio.com. Well, Nicolia, I just want to thank you for illuminating these times and bringing such a wealth of information from so many sources to the present moment. It is now. I feel it now. Many, many individuals that I talk with are feeling it now, and it is growing. And thank you for your articulation of this time.
Well, Robert, thank you very much again for inviting me along. I would just encourage people, if they want to find me on Facebook, I use my Facebook wall as a teaching platform, and it would be lovely to see them there. I hope you have a lovely day, the rest of your day, for your birthday, and yes, namaste.
Namaste. Blessings, Nicolia.
Blessings.